The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, it's Joe Hoff, and welcome to the Joe Hoff Show this Thursday afternoon in the great states of the United States of America. And we are here. It's a lot going on. I'm just wondering really where to start. We've got so much going on. First of all, I want to thank you for joining me. And yeah, thanks. Thanks for all that you do. Please, share this show with your friends and get the word out. We've got a great show here. And we're trying to come out with the truth. We're hitting it hard every day. We're going to drop bombs. And hopefully we'll have our guest show up here in about 20 minutes. To talk about what's going on in Arizona with Carrie Lake case. But in addition, we've got our producer, Adam Ruckus, who will be joining us shortly as well. So a lot going on. I guess I should probably start off with the big news from last night. And that news was that Hunter Biden's attorneys have sent a letter to the DOJ, which is Joe Biden, Hunter Biden's father's Department of Justice, which is totally corrupt. Led by totally corrupt Merrick Garland. And they sent a letter to an assistant DA, AG under Garland, to say, hey, you need to investigate these guys, these five people that the Hunter Biden's attorneys list are people that have had access to his laptop. And he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the fact that information is being shared. And so in addition to that, he sent a letter to the Attorney General of Delaware, probably no doubt somebody they know. Hunter Biden's brother, Beau Biden, was the Attorney General there for a period of time. He died of cancer. And then a third letter went to, I believe, Fox News and Tucker Carlson. And and Hunter's attorney said that Tucker needs to take back some things that he said. And so so kind of two things very highly related. Third one with Tucker's is related as well. And the ironic thing about Tucker, we can start with that, is that on the laptop, there's a couple things where Tucker is tied to Hunter Biden. One is Hunter was invited to Tucker Carlson's birthday party. And there's an email invite from Tucker Carlson's wife. Apparently they lived in the same neighborhood, I guess in D.C. for a period of time. And another email is a thank you letter from Tucker to Hunter saying, thanks for helping my son get into Georgetown University. Appreciate you writing a letter on his behalf. So they knew each other. And then Tucker didn't release anything on the laptop before the 2020 election. And so Tucker, we thought, well, it's because they're good friends. Well, I'm not sure that they are, because lately Tucker's been hammering Hunter. And then last night, Hunter comes back, his attorneys come back and ask Tucker, threaten Tucker to take down or to take back some things that he shared about Hunter Biden. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. I do have in front of me the letter to Tucker Carlson in Fox News. And basically they're accusing Mr. Carlson implied was essentially a money laundering scheme to finance President Biden's lifestyle prior to his election as president, after legitimately defeating President Trump and alluding to Mr. Biden having unauthorized access to classified documents because of his presence at President Trump Biden's house. As you know, documents were laying around, and Hunter Biden was in and out of that house, lived there for a period of time. He's had a crazy drug-filled life, so at times he's been moving back in with Daddy, and he's been there when these documents were there. We really don't know where these documents were between 2007 and even before 2007. I don't think we know when they were taken from the National Archives, when they were taken, and I don't think the National Archives knows either. If they did, they've lied about it for a long period of time. They haven't told us that they knew that the Bidens had these documents. So We don't know how the Bidens got these documents. Somehow they did. They're laying around the Biden home, and Hunter's in and out. There's a picture of Hunter Biden in the car that parked right next to where these documents were found. So say what you will, attorneys for Tucker Carlson. It's pretty much there in plain sight. There's the car, documents next to the car, Hunter in the car, Hunter living in the same house, documents found in the house. So I don't know. I don't know if what Tucker said, they're trying to claim what he said was false. And I don't know how they can really argue that. The other piece that came out yesterday is related to the a letter from Hunter's attorney to the assistant U.S. Attorney General. And his name is Olson. And this comes again from Hunter's attorney. It's going to Olson. And think about it. Olson works for Merrick Garland, who was appointed by Joe Biden, Hunter's dad. And ultimately, the Department of Justice flows up to the president. So, I mean, this is just out obnoxious what they're trying to do today. Bannon this morning said he was on and he said, you know, this is just noise. This is a joke. Stop playing with this stuff. We've got serious things to fix here in this country, and you're coming out with this garbage. And I'd have to agree with Bannon. He was one of the seven people who were identified. And we'll go through that list later because I think it's real important what's going on. And by the way, John Paul MacIsaac, who we had on the show just last week, is one of the seven. Rudy Giuliani's one of the seven. Rudy's I've talked to in the past about this. Steve Bannon I've talked to in the past. Jack Maxey, I've talked to in the past about this. Garrett Ziegler, I've talked to. He's one. And then Yakov Applebaum as well, who a lot of people don't know, but I know him quite well. So the only one that of the seven I didn't know is this Robert Costello, who's Rudy Giuliani's attorney. So, and I don't know about Maxey and Ziegler. Maxey was saying he had a bunch more documents outside of the laptop that he found, and I don't know if that's legit. So he might be in some real trouble if they proceed with the angle against him. Same as Garrett Ziegler, he's with this Marco Polo project. We don't know if the information that he's sharing from Hunter Biden's laptop is genuine or not. We don't know. We don't have a chain of custody on him for that. So it'll be really interesting how this unwinds, but I like Bannon's response. Hey, boys, this is just noise. You know, let's get on to the serious stuff. You guys are trying to get us in a nuclear war. Our economy is absolutely dismal. It's reaching now 1932 records. And you want to play this game after stealing this corrupt election? Yeah, right. And then you're going to your daddy's employee, corrupt Attorney General Merrick Garland, to ask for help. Outrageous, Hunter. Outrageous. You guys are just, there's some sick people working in this country today. Just a small group, but very, very sick individuals. So pretty outrageous what's going on with all this. It's just, you almost don't know where to start. Moving on, there's been all sorts of other noise in the media as well. One thing that came out a week or two ago was this debate over gas stoves and how, well, we should get rid of natural gas and stoves. And the people that work in the restaurant industry were freaking out, like, hey, this is how we cook. You do that, you're shutting down the restaurant business. And I can remember the governor of New York, Hochul, she came out and said she supports this, but then there's pictures of her, you know, cooking on her gas grill. So what two-faced politicians we have in this country. Anyways, Adam Ruckus wants to add some more flavor to this entire argument. So Adam, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. There's something new going on now that is reigniting this debate, as it were, over the gas stoves. And what happened is the Department of Energy just yesterday, on Wednesday, proposed new efficiency standards for basically all consumer cooking appliances, and this includes gas and electric. So this proposal, which, by the way, comes just weeks after good old Biden, the White House, was forced to clarify that the president does not support a ban on gas stoves. I'm sure you remember that, following public outcry thanks to people like us, after a consumer product safety official suggested that option was quote unquote on the table. So he had to walk that back. But here we are. So we got a new thing. This new proposal would set limits on energy consumptions for the gas stoves and energy usage standards on both electric and gas stoves and ovens, which would have to meet certain thresholds for energy efficiency. Quoting from the Energy Department's spokesperson's statement to the news outlets on Wednesday, quote, as required by Congress, the Department of Energy is proposing efficiency standards for gas and electric cooktops. We are not proposing bans on either. I like how they had to clarify that part. Continuing on with the quote, the proposed standards would not go into effect until 2027 and cumulatively save the nation up to $1.7 billion. Every major manufacturer has products that meet or exceed the requirements proposed today, end quote. My question is, exactly how much is $1.7 billion going to be worth in 2027? I don't know, maybe it's not going to be as big of a savings as we think it is. Anyways, continuing on here, energy savings from the rule would improve the security and reliability of the nation's energy system, according to the DOE, estimating that these standards could enable energy savings of 3.4% relative to a scenario without the standards. It's estimating manufacturers actually would incur total conversion costs of $183.4 million just to comply with the standards. So the agency said it has, quote, tentatively concluded that the proposed standards represent the maximum improvement in energy efficiency that is technologically feasible and economically justified, adding that it estimates, quote, in order to bring products into compliance with new and amended standards, yep, there it is. It's estimated the industry would incur total conversion costs of specifically $183.4 million, end quote. I don't know where they come up with these numbers, Joe. They also said that products that can achieve this proposed standard thresholds are already on the market. How convenient. I wonder how that happened. Maybe that's a story for another day. Furthermore, according to the proposal, the benefits of the proposed standard would outweigh the potential drawbacks. What did they say? They say, quote, that conclusion remains true under any reasonable analytical assumption, i.e. the proposed standards are net beneficial under any discount rate, both for climate and non-climate benefits and costs, any cost scenario and any other scenario that the DOE analyzed. So there's a lot of like this really, I don't know, they don't seem very sure of themselves, Joe. Do they sound very sure to you about any of this?
Not really, not at all, really. And to me, it reminds me, I remember reading this book about FDR years ago and how he came in and they started nitpicking everything. It was total socialism. That's what this is. It's your government telling you what to do. They got to the point in the 1930s of litigating the cost of a dozen eggs. And this really, we're not too far from that right now. This is insanity. Our government needs to just get out of the way. They have no business, you know, telling us whether we can use a gas stove or not, or how much gas we can use in a year. It's none of their business. And it's repulsive because at some point you just have so many laws nobody can keep up, and then they just start busting you if they don't like you, and other people, if you're your friend of the regime, then you're fine. And I just think this stuff's just socialism. You know, it's just gross.
Yeah, but they're usually very bold in their language. They seem to present themselves as being the voice of authority. Usually there's just too much of this uncertainty in the language here. It's almost like, it reminds me of something in the business world we call CYA, cover your ass. So maybe they're like, hey, what happens if this climate agenda thing falls through? I think this is one of the ways that they're trying to cover that up. The last part of their statement said, quoting here, moreover, because consumer operating costs savings and health benefits alone greatly exceed costs under all such assumptions and scenarios, DOE noted that this conclusion does not depend on climate benefits. And then they put in parentheses, literally, I've never seen this before, but in parentheses, though, DOE's estimates of climate benefits remain important and robust, end parentheses. Almost like that was like a little piece of assurance to, I don't know, maybe some, you know, third-party interests. Hint, 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 just saying.
Yeah, it's just outrageous what's going on. These guys, just so much going on. It's just crazy. You know, I think Adam, we could probably find one of these stories similar to this about every day lately. Just the insanity of this government. It's just either too much or too little, like with the southern border. It's just a mess. So
we just want to play Goldilocks, right? We just want to be just right.
and that's crazy. Yeah, and the government's no Goldilocks. They're the big bad wolf in my mind. So. Anyways, hey, thanks for joining us, Adam, as always, and I appreciate your insights as well. And these stories are great, so appreciate it.
You betcha, Joe. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay, great. Have a good evening. And we'll be right back with the Joe Hoff Show.
TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
John Kerry, the climate envoy who got caught in 2018 flying a private jet to pick up an environmental climate award in Iceland, was asked by an environmental journalist, why are you flying private if you're here to pick up an environmental award? And Kerry's answer was, do you know how important I am? I can't fly commercial. My work is so important. I've got to be out there. So now, because of all the blowout from that interview, this is what Kerry is now claiming. This is John Kerry in Davos at the World Economic Forum Great Reset Summit.
How can you justify being here when you yourself take private jets? Can you answer that?
I fly commercial, exclusively.
What Kerry's really saying is, I fly commercially lately or right now. It doesn't mean he's not going to be regularly flying in private jets. Again, he probably means since like that new year. This was done about January 70, 2 weeks into the new year. So yeah, he flies commercially exclusively given that in the new year. But you know, don't ask him about December of 2022 or something like that.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
So important in this crisis that we're in.
Congress passes a multi-billion-dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure, no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the Vice Chairman of Internal Medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really going to be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns, devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
And the hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history, to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now
is courage.
The courage to face COVID-19. Available at courage2facecovid.com.
A cashless society means zero cash. No car boot sales. No markets. No tooth fairy or piggy banks. No saving cash for a rainy day. No buying anything with privacy. Digital currency means every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
And we are back. This is Joe Hoft with the Joe Hoft Show. Appreciate you all hanging on. We've been trying to get a hold of Jordan in Arizona. We're not able to reach him, so we're going to continue to try to do that. But in the meantime, I'll be talking about what happened last night with Hunter Biden, his attorney, and what's going on right now with his request. So the most audacious part of last night with Hunter's request is that one of his requests is going to Fox News. Another request, and that was a threat to because Tucker Carlson's had one guy who's got enough guts to talk about Hunter. Another letter went from Hunter's attorneys to the Attorney General of Delaware. Now, this my understanding is this lady's just a crook who's taken over, Soros-backed. And we had Jake Smith on here last week, and he was talking about that. This lady's just horrible. There was an individual that Republicans had that a lot of people liked that he ran, and he didn't win the election. Now, I'm telling you, these elections are a mess, and we've got to get them fixed because crooks like Soros people are not winning. They are not winning. They are stealing elections, and that's what's going on. And I just I'm appalled by what's going on. For example, in Arizona, you have a corrupt Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, backed by Soros, just a mouse of a person, nasty to the core, evil, just evil. She has no problem in breaking any law that she has to, lying, or doing whatever she has to. She then runs for governor and messes up the Maricopa election so that she can steal the election. They still had to add 25,000 votes out of nowhere to give her the election, even after all the theft that they did on election day. That's what the case is going on in Arizona right now, is Carrie Lake's case. It's been appealed to the appellate court of the state of Missouri. And so that's what's going on there. Carrie Lake's trying to sue for her rightful win. And she says these results in Arizona shouldn't be there because there's so much fraud. They're uncertifiable. And I'd have to say without any hesitation that she is right. And so anyways, we've been able to get a hold of Jordan, and he's with us, and he's down there in Maricopa County, and he's been keeping an eye on what's going on here with this case, with the other things going on down there. So Jordan, welcome to the Joe Hoft Show.
Hey, how's it going, Joe? Thanks for having me.
Great, man. Great. So what can you tell us about what's going on in Arizona, especially in relation to the Carrie Lake case?
Well, so yesterday, a three-judge panel overseeing the appeal, they had a private closed-door conference with no attorneys, close to the public. That's pretty standard for the Arizona Court of Appeals. I don't like it. A lot of people don't like it. We wanted to watch the video, watch the conference take place. But it's my understanding they'll be making some sort of decision. They're going to decide to rule in favor of one side or the other, or they're going to possibly schedule some hearings, maybe a trial, but it's likely that we could see a ruling come out shortly.
So, so that's kind of a shocker. I thought there was going to be an opportunity for Carrie Lake and her team to add some more evidence to the pile, especially like these signatures that the first judge, the lower court judge, wouldn't allow her to present, which is, to me, that's illegal. That's rooms for a retrial, I would think. But was that discussed? Do you know any of the details that were discussed yesterday?
You know, I'm not too sure on the details that were discussed, but no, I totally agree. I mean, law violations happened. You know, voters were disenfranchised. That should be grounds to throw the election out completely. You know, the fact that this judge, he refused to hear this evidence, 8 of the 10 counts, and the fact that even with the evidence that he heard on chain of custody failures of hundreds of thousands of ballots, which is illegal, election day machines failing Republican voters, which they say it was a mistake, but as we know, this printer setting change was changed on election day. Not only that, it appears to have been intentional. You know, we've got cybersecurity expert Clay Parikh testifying that this couldn't have happened absent intentional misconduct, and that's what it appears happened. They say it was a mistake, but you know what? This quote-unquote mistake that they're trying to say happened, it jeopardized the results of the election. It's totally grounds for it to be thrown out. Instead, this judge wants to say, the Maricopa County Superior Court judge, he wants to say, oh, no, you have to prove that it was intentional, which is, in my opinion, it's BS. I'm not sure if they were able to introduce new evidence to the trial. I believe they've been coming out with new evidence pretty much every day. As we have it on the Gateway Pundit, Carrie Lake, she recently held a rally where she pretty much proved, she gave us more evidence that printers and tabulators were intentionally sabotaged across Maricopa County, but seemingly only in these red Republican areas.
Yeah, I saw that map that she put out and that you put up at the Gateway Pundit. It's pretty shocking. Just shocking. And mostly in Republican areas. But quite frankly, most of the state's Republican. So, just horrible what she did. And go ahead.
One thing, if you know, on that GOP heat map that Maricopa County kept on their wall, It highlights most of Maricopa County and most of the higher populous areas. You know, it's less in downtown Phoenix, liberal downtown Phoenix, but the major metropolis parts of Maricopa County, Scottsdale, Mesa, Gilbert, those were all bright red, and it shows. I mean, there's most of Maricopa County is in the red, not in the blue, not in the purple, red.
Yeah. It's a joke. It's not a joke. It's a real serious condition there, but it's so much fraud. Quite frankly, the judges never should have had to see this thing. Although I got to tell you that lower court judge is either a criminal, a crook, or just the biggest coward you ever met. I mean, you know, the evidence was there. And for him, throwing out evidence on the signatures, that's also, they wouldn't allow, the Senate wouldn't allow in that Maricopa audit that where we first really met you, they wouldn't allow him to do the signature check. And it's like, what's going on here? This is the main problem. We don't know where these ballots came from. And the signature check is at least one control that you can have to validate that the individuals that sent in the ballots or supposedly did are real, that they're the real individuals, and they didn't allow it in that audit, and that would have been that was a game changer. And although there was some analysis, I guess, from Dr. Shiva later, where he estimated like 300,000 ballots in the 2020 election that were likely fraudulent based on his review of signatures, and now we've got these guys, Katie Hobbs, Carrie Lake, and her team looking at the signatures, saying these things are, and they with hundreds of examples saying these are a joke. No, they don't even come close to matching, and yet the county has given them the authority to pass them through. It's fraud, and the judge wouldn't allow that heard in the case. It's just outrageous that he would do that. I think what the effort is to ultimately get rid of signature verification, because they know with signature verification they'll never steal elections. So they're getting away with it and nobody's saying anything. And I guess Katie Hobbs, who was the Secretary of State, who really should have said something, she ignores it because she's running against Carrie Lake. It's just horrible what's going on there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
you couple this with the fact that these ballots didn't have chain of custody documentation, another violation of the law. It shows, I mean, we don't know where these ballots came from. We don't know who signed them. we can't verify any of this. It's really impossible to verify. They've created a fraudulent election system here in Arizona where we can't even track the ballot. We can't track anything in the process because they're just letting everything go through. You know, it's count every vote, right? Regardless of whether it's legal or not. Well, except for Republican votes on election day. Mm-hmm. I have this new report up on the Gateway Pundit that shows up to 8,000 people, or actually likely more than 8,000 people, were waiting in line at 40 different locations after the polls closed. And they ended up leaving the line after 7 p.m. when the polls were closed, and they didn't get a chance to vote. You know, because you, in order to vote, you had to be in line by 7 p.m. You couldn't leave the line. And some of these lines, I mean, this one line in Paradise Valley was 675 people long, I believe, and only about 150 people were actually able to cast a ballot. So that's one location. Over 500 people were unable to vote. You know, that's twice Abe Hamadeh's margin of victory in his race. It's, you know, it brings Kerry mm-hmm. Lake closer. But that's just one issue. I mean, with the signatures, mm-hmm. with the chain of custody, all these other issues. You know, Kerry Lake, she was going to win this election, but they couldn't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. Decisively. And it wasn't just I don't think it's just the Democrats. It was the leadership of the Republican Party as well, the McCain Republicans down there that are just crooks. You just got to step back. These people are crooks. John McCain was a crook. I say it now. He was all tied into Ukraine. And I went over there with his buddy mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham. And we saw him. We saw at least McCain in the Middle East working at the beginnings of ISIS. He's over there, you know, talking to these rebels in quotation marks who morphed into ISIS. He was not a good guy. Why was he pushing this arms stuff? There's even questions that go back on McCain, way back to his Vietnam days and what he did there. So I don't know. I'm not a fan mm-hmm. of McCain's. I really liked him when he first came out. Then he just turned into a flake. He was just crazy. And unfortunately, he's got a big backing down there, and they're nuts. But the thing that grabbed me, Jordan, was on election day there, and this is really ties nicely with that report you wrote this morning at the Gateway Pundit. On election day, what was happening was, and this happened in the primary, the Democrats, or not the Democrats, but the Republicans, the mega Republicans, those that were following Kerry Lake, they were told, don't come in until election day, because your ballots, if you mail them in, you don't know what's going to happen. So the people all came in on election day. They tried to steal it from Kerry, but there was just too much, and she won the primary. And so then they were going to use the same technique that worked in the primary. We're going to do it in the actual election in November. And so everybody knew it. None of these these mega Republicans did not send in their ballots and mail them in. And instead, they show up on election day. And they knew these people were coming. And that's why they had to come up with a strategy to mess with them. And boy, did they come up with a strategy, basically mess up every single machine so that all these ballots basically either don't get counted, get thrown in a bucket, people get disenfranchised because they don't even they're not even able to get up there and vote. It's just it was a mess, and it was totally intentional. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out, and it led to these horrible results. And even after that, Jordan, didn't they, even as they were counted, one day they just added 25,000 votes. It came out of nowhere, and that's how that was the margin of victory that Hobbs needed to win the election. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. With lack of chain of custody, they were able to just add 25,000 ballots to the total. You know, a few days after the election, maybe a day or two after the election, they're saying, "Oh yeah, there's about 270,000 ballots remaining to count," and then a couple of days later, they're like, yeah, there's actually like 292,000 ballots to count. So we don't know where these additional ballots came from. Apparently, you know, they weren't even counting the ballots as they left the voting locations. This was admitted to by Stephen Richer in Kerry Lake's trial, which, again, I'm surprised the judge wasn't like, whoa, that's, you know, that's ripe for abuse right there. But Now, he decided to rule in favor of the Maricopa County crooks, the Republican rhinos who sabotaged this election. In addition to that, as you were saying on election day, these voting machine failures, you know, we found out recently that from looking at the system log files of these tabulators, you know, We the People Arizona Alliance presentation to the Arizona Senate Election Committee, this was last Monday, they discovered that nearly a quarter million ballot misfeeds occurred. So that means a quarter million times a ballot was stuck into a tabulator and it spit it right out. So that might not mean a quarter million voters did it, but a quarter million attempts to feed a ballot through a machine. So, you know, that could be 3-4, you know, ballot feeds per voter. It could be 2. I'm going to be generous. I wouldn't do it more than 5 times. You know, I wouldn't trust that box 3 ballot box.
No way.
Because, I mean, they mix, they commingle.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right. And after, I was just going to say, after you've done it a couple times, you're just going to say, well, this one too. You know, you're not going to spend your time trying to jam something through 3 times, you know, 5 times in a row. By about the 5th time, you're going to say, well, this thing just ain't working. Luck. And then they had you throw these ballots into a pile in a box in a corner. We don't know how many were there, how many made it to the run back. We just know how many run back counted. And why is run back doing this in the first place? There are so many crimes in your process, and how that's the thing that's hitting me. We need to get some really good attorneys to start suing these counties, cities, and states for noncompliance with elections now before the next election, so that they get this stuff fixed. Because if you've got laws, by the way, does Arizona have a law for signature verification?
Yes, they do. We have the Elections Procedures Manual, which outlines the standards for signature verification. As we saw in the 2020 election, an investigation found that hundreds of thousands of these ballots did not pass the Secretary of State's signature verification standards. When that data was extrapolated and used to estimate, well, because nothing's changed, it was used to estimate, okay, how many ballots were likely failed Secretary of State signature verification in 2022. It's over 100,000. You know, it's about 150,000 or 160,000. So, I mean, the fact that we're to trust these election results with all of this new information coming out, it's sick. It's sick that they actually believe that they want us to just accept the results and accept that our state has been stolen by the establishment rhinos and radical left Democrats.
I mean, beyond radical, these people will commit crimes right in your face. So it's communist. It really is. I heard Trump say that over the weekend at one of his talks. He says, you know, I never used to say communist. He says, I'm saying it all the time now. That's what these people are doing. This is communist actions.
Right.
Stealing elections is 101 for the commies. Once they steal your election, then they do it again, do it about 5 times. People stop voting, and and the whole time they're just destroying the country. And people that stand up, they get thrown in jail. And we're seeing it right now with January 6th.
And they're taking it a step further. They're going 202 for communists. They are to now targeting Carrie Lake with felony prosecution because she's had the gall to actually speak up about this stolen election. So it's really scary what's going on. I don't think they're going to be able to prosecute Kerry, but the fact that they're even thinking about this, where are we? Are we turning into Brazil? I mean, Brazil just got their election stolen. They're now targeting journalists, comedians. They're targeting what they call opposition forces. It's really crazy the parallels that we're seeing here in Arizona and Brazil.
Yeah, and two really big countries that were really national, you know, that are still, you know, have a national spirit about them. I don't know. I keep thinking about it. I mean, I think about this all the time is what's going to happen here? Is it going to have to end in violence? Is that what's going on? I mean, is this the way mankind's made? It always ends in violence?
Right.
Yeah.
I worry about that sometimes. I don't think the people are going to get violent. I think maybe Black Lives Matter will get violent, but peaceful Trump supporters, we won't get violent unless seriously provoked. And I worry that I want to be careful what I say because the FBI might come banging down my door. But, I don't think we're going to step it up unless seriously provoked by possible violence from our government. I mean, that's my biggest fear is, you know, they've already rounded us up, put us all in masks, forced us to get vaccinated, fired us, canceled us for not complying. What's next? What's next when we start speaking out more? I mean, they've already censored us on social media. They're already trying to silence us. I mean, who knows? Are they going to start making laws that totally go against our First Amendment? They're already breaking the law by violating our First Amendment. So it worries me what's next. I don't know if we'll have a country in 20 years when I'm older, you know?
Yeah. I agree. It's just, the problem is we have these people in these high positions that are communists, that are part of it, and they love it. They love it. You got the Biden crime family. I mean, we've been writing about it this week. The crimes by this family. It's like they really, to me, the more I study the Bidens, and which is what you basically do in this job, you do studies on various things like you're doing out there in Arizona. I think the Biden family is a crime family. I think they're as dirty as any mafia family in the country and around the world. And that's who are they associating with? They're associating with the CCP. They're associating with these crooks in Ukraine. Their association with Russia, Iran. I mean, these people are sick, but it doesn't matter. It's all about, you know, to them, it's all about the money and real right. sick stuff. They don't care. There's no laws for these guys.
Yeah, a lot of these people in Congress and Senate, Joe Biden, they're owned by the CCP. They're funneling money through Ukraine to launder it. They're owned by these foreign interests. I mean, here in Arizona, we have to worry about the cartel. A lot of these people are likely owned by the cartel, and they're just letting the worst things happen, letting chaos ensue in our state in order to enrich themselves.
It's crazy. It's sad. It's crazy sad is what it is.
Really?
I appreciate you dialing in, Jordan. I know it's kind of a lot going on down there, and it's hard to keep up with everything, but really appreciate all you do and the great articles you've put together at the Gateway Pundit now for some time. So keep up the great work and appreciate you dialing in. We'll have to get you back. Keep us posted on what's going down there too. Let me know.
Yes, Joe, I will keep updates on the Gateway Pundit on Carrie Lake's lawsuit as soon as the information is made available.
Great. Well, thanks so much for everything. God bless you. Keep up the great work. We'll be getting you back here as soon as we can. So thank you very much.
All right, thanks for having me, Joe.
Appreciate it. We'll be right back at the Joe Hoff Show.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
The reason the fascist FBI censors conservatives so hard on social media is because the left simply can't meme, and they've got no Twitter game whatsoever. The White House got absolutely ratioed today on the official @CDC.gov account when it put out a video that asked, "Can I get my Mpox vaccine at the same time as my flu shot and COVID vaccines?" Check out the video. I'm not far off on the voice. And they had Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, who looks crack-a-lacka, all tatted up in his leather bondage gear. Yes, that photo really is he, who replied, "It's not too late to get vaccinated. You can get the Mpox vaccine at the same time as your flu and COVID vaccines. But talk to your vaccinator about what's right for you." First of all, Mpox? Do you mean monkeypox? And talk to your vaccinator. People have vaccinators now? Or did they misspell executioner? Check out the comments. They're savage. People are waking up. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Oh, I haven't been through the car wash in ages. My gears are all clogged up and my wheels are as stiff as boards. Oh, and you could do with driving me a little more sensibly. All that revving actually increases CO2 emissions. Changing gears at lower revs can save you money too. And they say us cars don't care about the environment. Honestly, I don't know why I bother. Oh, yes, all just there. That's not...
Are you thinking what your car's thinking? Find out how to drive down your emissions and fuel costs by up to £120 a year at tfl.gov.uk.
This is the Joe Hoff Show on TNT Radio.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff, and that was a great interview with Jordan. Thanks to Jordan Conradson from the Gateway Pundit again for joining us. And you can catch out his many writings at the Gateway Pundit. He's just really done a great job. So thank you, Jordan, for joining us. We'll see what happens with the Carrie Lake case. I think she absolutely has a case. I think these attorneys and judges, if these judges had any integrity and courage, they'd say she's right. This was a mess. This is an absolute mess. And the law in Arizona says that if you're in an election and the election is uncertifiable, then they just cancel the election for that year for that county. And it's been done before in Maricopa too, is my understanding. Something like 100 years ago or something, a similar situation occurred, and they just dropped the votes. The way that Lake lined up her case was that that's what she wants done. It's not certifiable, and she's right. You can't certify these results. Are you kidding me? Freaking people went home. People weren't able to vote. We don't even know the totals. Votes were added at the end. Signature verifications weren't in place. Chain of custody is not in place. How can you certify any of this? It's a total joke. And so that's where we have it. And we'll see. She certainly has a great case. We'll see what happens. The court should absolutely throw it out. And that, if that's the case, she won every other county in Arizona as well. So she will win the governorship, and she should. And we should not put crooked Soros connected people into these positions in anywhere in our country. George Soros, tell me, should he be thrown in jail? I mean, should he be thrown in? He never should have been given citizenship in the first place. He's connected to the Nazi party in Germany during World War II. He's a 14-year-old boy running around telling the Nazis who the Jews were, and so they could go steal their booty. And that's what this 14-year-old kid did. And he has no regrets. Watch the CBS video. I think it's a 2020 or 60 minutes video of George Soros from 20 years ago. Yeah, it's appalling. He just admits that he did it, has no qualms in doing it, and said if he didn't do it, somebody else would. Said he didn't believe in God. It makes you wonder if the guy's a Satanist. I mean, it does. He just sat back and, well, if you don't believe in God, you did all this stuff, you have no qualms with it, what is your belief? Apparently, he had no problems with it. As a matter of fact, he gets into that subject in minute details. And if you look at that discussions from this perspective, is this guy a Satanist? It'll shine a whole new light on who this guy is. And this is who's running around feeding these real crooked people to run for office in these key states. And in Maricopa alone, he's backed the sheriff there that replaced Sheriff Joe after years of harassing him by the Biden administration, because Sheriff Joe came out and proved that Obama's birth certificate, it ain't legitimate. We don't know where he's born. We can't say that that isn't his mom or dad or whatever, but that ain't a legitimate birth certificate. And I've talked to a guy here who was born in Hawaii. He says, yeah, I was born around the same time. That birth certificate's it's a fraud. And his Sheriff Joe's team looked at it and validated, no, this is not right. Nobody else in the country would, so Sheriff Joe did. And he got sued by Obama's federal government for standing up to Obama. He hit him hard. He laid it on the table. And I remember before the 2012 election, President Trump, at the time, Citizen Trump, came out and said, I've got a big announcement. He says, I'm going to give $1 million to anybody that can prove to me that Hunter Biden or that Barack Obama, that'll provide me the inaccurate Obama birth certificate. We all went like, wow. And Trump was serious. That's before he even got into politics. It was ironically 4 years later, Trump would be president. Isn't that something? And 4 years later, you'd have these people absolutely freaked out about President Trump. Yesterday after the show, Jim and I at the Gateway Pundit interviewed General Michael Flynn. And he worked for Obama, and then he left, and then he started supporting Trump. He liked what Trump was saying. And then when Trump won the election, who's the person they went after the first? Who besides President Trump? Because they've been monkeying with Trump, spying on him, no doubt, for a long time. Probably spying on all of us now. If you're speaking up against this regime, you're getting spied on. That's my belief. I think that's pretty accurate, and we know that from the FISA abuses that we discovered under Obama. These people should have been thrown in jail. Nobody gets thrown in jail. And that's it. Why not cheat, lie, steal? These crazy, disgusting people with no integrity say, because nothing's going to happen to them. Nothing. So what happened? Who was the first guy they went after? It was Michael Flynn, because Flynn knew too much, and they made up a lie about him. And actually, General Flynn said something yesterday. He said, you know, he says there was a meeting on like January 6th or 7th under Obama in his White House. Joe Biden was there. And he said, Biden apparently came out and said that they should get General Flynn on charges of FARA violations. Well, nobody was charged with FARA at that time. It's a form you have to fill out when you're an agent for a foreign entity. They tried to say that Flynn had done some work for an entity out of Turkey. Flynn's like, I've never been to Turkey. I wasn't working for anybody from Turkey. That was a lie. And so they made up some stuff about Flynn, and then they ended up getting Mike Pence involved now, which makes you question Pence's real standing with the American people. Was he straight up? I don't know. I doubt it, especially after what he did on January 7th in 2021. Or the 6th, where he decided to certify this uncertified election. I think coward is what I think. Coward. And so anyways, what happened is Flynn gets fired. Trump gets put in a tough situation. He trusts Mike Pence, who's maybe not somebody he should have trusted. Flynn gets fired. A year later, they target him with a FARA violation and mess with him in that and threaten him with that so that he would end up agreeing to their plea. This is how the corrupt DOJ works today. They put the hammer on you. They squeeze through their crimes. And they're committing crimes all the time. This DOJ is crime-ridden. And so that's what they did to Flynn. They forced him into a plea. He pleaded to some charges that weren't true. He had these attorneys that were worthless, that were maybe in on it as well. And then he eventually got another attorney, Sidney Powell. She saved him. She saved America. And they continued to go after him. All these crooks, terrible, terrible crooks. And General Flynn, we were on last night because we talked to him about FARA violations, which he said, you know, Paul Manafort was put in solitary confinement for a year. They would get him out once a day for an hour. And that was it, 23 hours. He's stuck in a solitary confinement. Even in confinement, really, solitary, when they let him out, he'd have to walk around the courtyard by himself because he didn't fill out a FARA form. That's what this DOJ did to him. They're trying to break him, trying to get him to lie about President Trump. He says, I'm not going to do that. And so eventually they charged him. They threw him in prison for years for not filling out a FARA authorization. There's also some, they said he did his taxes wrong. So they added some years for that. The guy was 70 or something. They're going to throw him in basically for the rest of his life. And that's how they work. These people don't care about you or me. Biden, Obama, they don't care about you or me. But that's what happened. But when we brought up the other day that Hunter Biden, everything he did was a FARA violation, that every time he talked to somebody overseas in the Ukraine or Iran or Russia or China, all of that deserved a FARA. He needed to fill out a FARA form, and he never did. And he was an agent, a foreign agent. That's what he did. and his job was to help criminals get their crimes addressed. In one instance with the Chinese man named Ho, Hunter got $1 million, and his task, assign Ho an attorney. He assigns Ho this attorney. Ho should have got 15 years. They ended up getting off with 3 years, and then only spent like 3 months and got out of prison. That's how Hunter works. They're the crime family, the Biden crime family, the crooks, the criminals. And he should have done that. And does he get charged for not filling out a fair form? I think not. It's disgusting what's going on in our country. We got to fix this stuff up. We got to fix our elections so we can get the right people in office that can do this. So thanks for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow. It's a great show. Really appreciate you listening in. Share the Joe Hoff Show with your friends and family. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.